according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to Mary, the angel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So a disclaimer before I even start. This Carmel is very important to me. And these sisters I love deeply. I have come to count on them and their prayers greatly. I believe in their prayers. I believe when they invoke Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I believe when they go to Jesus. Jesus listens. God hears, and Mary assists. And so, several months ago now, when the sisters asked me to do this, I could not, in good conscience, say no. They've been so good to me. They've been so kind to me. I had to say yes. But as soon as I said yes, I said, "I'm in big trouble. What do I know about Carmelites? I'm a Jesuit." I make the same face too. Yeah. What do I know? So what do Jesuits do when they don't know what something's about?
They do.
They go to books and they start to read. And so I read all sorts of things to get ready for tonight. And I kept reading and reading, studying and studying, and then I found these two little things that popped out. One actually came from a doctrinal statement approved by the Congregation of Divine Worship and the Discipline of Sacraments, and it said, "Devotion to Our Lady of Mount Carmel is bound to the history and the spiritual values of the Order of the Carmelites of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Mount Carmel, and is expressed through their scapular. Thus, whoever receives the scapular becomes a member of the order and pledges him, herself, to live according to its spirituality in accordance with the characteristics of his or her state in life." I thought that was beautiful. And then right below that, there was a commentary by a Carmelite, Kieran Cavanaugh, and he said, "The scapular is a Marian habit or garment. It is both a sign and a pledge, a sign of belonging to Mary, a pledge of her motherly protection, not only in this life, but after death. And as a sign, it is a conventional sign signifying three elements strictly joined. First, belonging to a religious family particularly devoted to Mary, especially dear to Mary. Second, consecration to Mary, devotion and trust
in her immaculate heart. And third, an urge to become like Mary by imitating her, virtues, above all her humility, chastity, and spirit of prayer. When I read that, all of a sudden, it was like Jesus tapped me and said, "That's the turtle. That's what I want you to talk about, Jack. I want you to talk about Mary as model. I want you to talk about how Mary, as our mother, calls us to imitate her. For she knows how to follow Jesus better than anybody." And there are four things I just want to share with you tonight. They're simple things, because I think the message is always simple. It's yes, making the Word become flesh, hidden and unknown, and a profound intimacy with God. So first, how does Mary teach us to be a disciple? Well, think about it. This young woman, before she was married, she was betrothed, so it's a little bit more further in the relationship than an engagement, but she's not married yet. And all of a sudden, an angel comes to her. Now, I don't know about you, but if an angel came to me, I'd be afraid. And apparently, Mary was a little bit afraid, too, because the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary." And he says, "You've been found to have favor with God." And he says, "God is going to use you, and you're going to conceive a son. And that son is going to be the King of Kings. And that son will save the world. And you will bear it for the world." And Mary is all confused. In her fear, in her confusion, in her wondering how this is going to happen, she says to God, "How can this be? I don't even know a man. I've had no relations." And the angel said, "Don't worry about it, Mary. God will take care of it. And the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And you will conceive this child. And the child's name will be Jesus," which means God saves. Mary then, the young woman who initially started with fear, looks up. I can see her looking at the angel and says, "Behold, let it be done to me according to your word." She said yes. What's the first rule to be a model disciple? What's the first rule for all of us that we're following God? It's to say yes. It's to say yes to faith. It's to say yes to hope. It's to say yes to love. In this crazy time we live in, it's all right and a little bit normal to have fears. You can wonder what's going on. We can get frustrated. We can at times want to give up. But Mary says, "Don't give up on my son. My son is always with you. My son will wipe away your tears. My son will give you strength. My son has come to redeem you." And so Mary says, "Say yes. Say yes." So my friends, the first order of discipleship in your faith is say yes. You already did it. You came here tonight. Say yes. And in times of fatigue, in times of doubt, in times of extreme worry, that's even the more important time to say yes to God. God's with you. God loves you. God holds you. Now, Mary's yes did something extraordinary. Through Mary's yes, God used Mary's own body to give flesh to the Word, Jesus, to give flesh to the Word. What are you and I supposed to do? We're supposed to give flesh to the Word. We're supposed to become the hands, the heart, the eyes, the ears, the feet of this Jesus in the world today. Go back to that first reading about wiping away tears, proclaiming good news, about proclaiming forgiveness and mercy and hope. Because we're loved, because we know we have this Mary praying for us, and because we have this Jesus that loves us and is with us, we're supposed to say yes to forgiving people. We're supposed to say, "Yes, I'll ask for forgiveness." We're supposed to slow down our life, and when we see people that seem to be upset or confused or struggling, we stop and we help. We say, "What's wrong? Can I help you?" When we see tears, we wipe them away. When people have no hope, we give them their hand and our hand, and we say, I'll go with you. Together, we'll deal with it. We give hope. Every time you do an act of kindness, every time you listen to somebody with empathy, every time you join somebody in their struggle, you give flesh to the word. You make God incarnate in the present day. You make God incarnate in your family, your friends, your school, and everywhere else. That's the second job of a disciple, to make God real in the world today. Third, Mary's only mentioned 5 times in the Gospels. That's it. You get a few references, one in particular in Paul, and you have allusions in the Old Testament. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one who the people said, blessed are the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And Jesus says, no, that's not what makes my mom special. I love my mom, and my mom cared for me and was amazing. But what made my mom special is she heard my word, and she acted on it, and she kept the focus on me. She remained hidden and unknown, and always pointed to Jesus. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to hear that call of God. Be people of mercy and forgiveness and love. Be people of compassion. We're supposed to hear that call from God and act on it. To take a stand with it. To be there for others. To be a voice calling us back from sinfulness. To be a voice of justice when there is injustice. And never putting the attention on ourselves, but always pointing it back to Jesus. For his love and his compassion is why we do everything. And then lastly, if you're going to be this model disciple, you're called to profound intimacy with God. Now I'm a man and I'll never have this experience, and maybe some of you here have. But I cannot imagine anything being more intimate than a mother carrying the child in her womb for 9 months. There's an intimacy that happens there, and there's a dependency that happens there that's well beyond my experience as a man. But that points to the kind of intimacy God wants us to have with God, and God the Father wants us to have with Jesus. Be one with him. To allow him to be formed in our hearts and our minds. To carry him into the world, and in so doing, then give flesh through him. My friends, I'm about to end because I said I'd keep it simple. Mary's praying for us to be a model disciple. Mary's prayers for us so that we have the courage to always say yes, even in our fears and our doubts. Mary's prayer for us is in that yes that we make God real to the people around us and enflesh God to the people of today. Mary's prayer for us is always to remain humble and hidden and point to the one where our salvation comes from. But Mary, most of all, because I want you to be open to the love of my son. I want you to know how much Jesus loves you. You don't have to clean up for Jesus right away. You don't have to prepare for Jesus. Jesus loves us just the way we are, because nothing can change until you first get love. And then with love, change can happen. Jesus loves you and is proud of you, is working for us, and chose to become one with us. And Mary's hope is that we quiet our hearts long enough to be open to have this ongoing relationship with her son, to feel his love, his care, his support, and in so doing, to be made anew, to become a new creation. May Mary pray that we become model disciples. may we in turn take up the challenge. But most of all, the most important thing, may we take time to befriend and to love this Jesus who so desires to befriend